Now, on Wednesday next, the National Family Support Network will be hosting their 18th annual service of commemoration and hope. And Sadie Grace, the CEO of the National Family Support Network, is with me now. Hi, Sadie.
Hi, Declan. Good morning.
Thanks, Sadie, for taking the time out. I know you're busy getting organised for that 18th annual service. But maybe before we get talking about that and into the details of that, would you just tell me about a little bit about the work of the network?
Yeah, the Family Support Network, I suppose Family Support, well, that I know, peer-led Family Support, I would have got involved over 20 years ago. And did a lot of voluntary work, and then I became employed by Citywide to develop family support. And I suppose we did years of work, the family members themselves, years of Trojan work, and, you know, I suppose gained credibility on the work that we do, the peer-led work that we do, and we became an autonomous organisation in 2007, which was a huge achievement for families in Ireland, because it's never been done anywhere in the world.
Okay.
So the organisation is run by family members, for family members. So it's a huge achievement.
Yeah.
So the type of work we do is that, first and foremost, we do support work to family members. We set up groups. So we would have over 80 groups across the country. And a lot of them would be peer-led. And then we would, within the groups then, we would do development work. So we would do evaluations and plans with the groups. And then where there's more than one group, we would form networks. So we would have seven networks. And I suppose the biggest, most successful one of them is in the Southeast region, where they would have a dedicated family support coordinator. And they would have in the region of 12 peer-led family support groups. So it's huge value for money and a great achievement for family members themselves. Because when addiction comes into your home, we would find that family members go through stages. And we were done research a couple of years ago with the HRB and with the National Advisory Committee on Drugs on the effects of heroin use on families. And we very clearly outlined those seven stages that family members go through. And the final stage is where family members want to contribute back. So I would always say that the government will always get great value for money from family support, because 90% at least, maybe more, of the family members who go through family support will want to give something back.
Yeah. So you're supporting the families that are visited, as you said, by addiction, but you're also undertaking work in the area of policy, and you're
absolutely
promoting awareness about the
work.
Issue
so
as well.
We're actually up there with policymakers, making a difference on where families fit into the drug strategy, and we actually sit on that steering group at the moment. And then we do a lot of work around training and research. We developed a piece of research last year, Social Return on Investment, where it shows the value that we've always spoken about that family support gives. So we'll be launching that this year also. And it shows that for every euro that the government gives to family support, we give X amount of euro back.
Right. Yeah, it's fantastic work that you do, and of course, as you said, it's an organisation that is peer led, which is very, very important from what you're saying.
Absolutely.
There, and you're not only helping the people who have the various issues, but then you're also promoting awareness, looking to change policy, and then you have this annual service of commemoration as well.
Yeah, Declan, what we did was, I suppose the first service we had way back in 2000, we tried to find out how many of our young people were dying from drugs. And what we were shocked to discover was that drug-related deaths were never recorded in Ireland.
Wow.
So that caused us huge concern, because we couldn't show the need for example, for services, specific services for family members dealing with the loss of a loved one.
Right.
So we were very successful in getting... in calling for and getting the funding to set up what's now known as the Drug Related Deaths Index.
Okay.
And now we have, you know, for 10 years now, we have very clean data, is what they call it, on, you know, how people are dying, where they're dying, what the cause of death is, what drug they're using, you know, if it was an overdose, So we have lovely clean data. Unfortunately, the HRB cannot make recommendations to government. We have all these great reports. For example, the last report that was launched just in December was for 2014. So we know, for example, that in 2014, that 697 people lost their lives through drug and alcohol-related causes. So that's almost 13 of our loved ones died every week.
Yeah, that's actually a significantly more than die on our roads, which there's a huge amount of awareness about. You know, but there isn't the same awareness about this group of people, I suppose.
Absolutely, and this is what we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at the effects, you know, that these kind of deaths have on family members, because a lot of the time we hear, oh God, and our son or our daughter has died now and all our problems are over. Absolutely not.
Hmm.
Family members find themselves like with huge debts, and that may be that the drug user maybe have taken, he or her has taken their own life because of drug related intimidation or drug debt, and the family accrue that, family members have to take that over, so that doesn't die with the person who dies.
Yeah, and do people,
and their family members then may be faced with then raising children, because a huge amount of children left because of this, and then it's the whole area of undertakers and family members, you know, having to pay back undertakers.
Yeah.
So a lot of our family members don't have the luxury, and I you know, I'm using luxury in the same sentence as a debt, but they don't have the luxury of grieving, because they have to face, you know, the heartache and the headache and the devastation of having to pay debts to undertakers.
And people genuinely say they feel that when sometimes it's a bit of a as you say, initially their feeling is, well, a sort of happy release that the difficulties are over, but then that turns into a difficulty that's left behind, I suppose. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, you talk to lots of family members who feel that, you know, that maybe their children would be better off if they passed.
Right.
Because you don't want to see them suffering anymore.
Yeah.
It's not because you don't love your child.
Sure.
Absolutely. I mean, these are children who you brought into the world, who you nurtured, who you absolutely idolise. But it's very difficult to be a parent and to have to watch your child that you love, that you nurtured, almost self-destruct in front of your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very difficult for family members.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so much happening around family support, and I can honestly say that for the first time, I think I'm 24 years doing this work, and for the first time ever, I can say that we are very, very happy with how we are placed in the new National Drug Strategy. And hopefully that, you know, even though we know there's over 80 groups across the country, this is just tipping the iceberg. There's a huge thousands of family members out there who are not getting the support that they need. And our wish would be that the same support is there for family members, regardless of where you live in Ireland.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that that happens, that people are getting a quality service wherever they live.
Okay.
It's really essential that this happens, and that the government take it on board and take this issue as serious as it is. I mean, 297 of our young people, or 697 of our young people dying in 1 year. I mean, something has to
give,
you know. They need to be listening to us. And I think for the first time that the people around the table at the new drug strategy are beginning to do that.
Okay. So you're going to remember them all, the people who have unfortunately left us over the years, in the commemoration on next Wednesday. It's at half past seven.
And it's at 7:30 in Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Charmouth Damon Street. And everybody is welcome. And I would just say, if there's anybody listening out there that is going through or living with addiction or going through any of the grief or bereavement that we've spoke about, to please get in touch with us. Our website is www.fsn.ie, and our landline is 01-898-0148. Please get in touch with us and we'll support you.
Okay. Sadie, good luck with the service on Wednesday night, and good luck with your good work. And thanks for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks, Declan.
Very welcome. That's Sadie Grace there, CEO of the National Family Support Network. The website again is fsn.ie. dublinwalk.ie, and the number to contact them is a Dublin number, 01 898 01 48.